Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today, beloved, from 1 Peter, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share the sufferings of Christ, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. Well, it's that time of year we've got the second window. Second window is Christ's ascension into heaven. While our first lesson and our gospel lesson talk about that, I want to talk about the result of that. Christ going to be with the Father. The Bible says, in the meantime, there will be persecution on the earth. Now, Christians can't go throughout this life without suffering. It's just a fact. There is pain and suffering. Because when Adam and Eve fell into sin, it opened the door for pain and suffering. Now, some people have a large cup of pain and suffering in their life. Others of us have a small cup of pain and suffering. We all don't bear the same pain. There are different kinds of sufferings. God says in our text, Christians don't suffer because you're an evildoer. Suffering because of an evildoer, because you're just a bad person, is not the kind of suffering that's going to bring you any good. Again, don't suffer because you've hurt somebody and they're just hurting you back. Well, that's the kind of suffering you deserve, because you've been wicked. If you're mean and you're unloving and you're unforgiving, and then you suffer for that, it's justified. If you fail to love, if you fail to serve others, if you fail to keep God's commandments, you've made your choice. You suffer because of the bad choices. That's on you. Those are the choices as children of God that you're making. And if you choose to live that way, so be it. However, if there's suffering involved in the choices you've made, it's your fault. Then there's no glory in that. There's no glory in that kind of suffering. But there's another kind of suffering that does bring glory. There is another kind of suffering that brings eternal glory, eternal rewards. And the Bible says that if you suffer because of your faith, if you suffer for the name of Jesus, if you let people know who you are and the hope you have within you, that you believe that there's a guy who walked on the earth, who ascended into heaven, rose, died, rose, and ascended, that He's your living Lord and Savior, that kind of glory will bring you blessings, eternal blessings. Some Christians suffer for the name of Jesus. Some Christians suffer a lot, pain and suffering. There are other Christians, they just have a little cup of pain and suffering. There are 95 million Christians in Nigeria. It's a lot of Christians. But they're greatly outnumbered by the Muslims. The Muslims control the country. And the Muslims have persecuted the Christians in horrific ways. In the last 15 years, the Muslims have killed 37,000 Christians. Looking up on the internet, you'll see Christians dangling, hung. Those are real people, real brothers and sisters in Christ who have lost their life because they were willing to talk to others about their faith. They've kidnapped thousands more. They have displaced more than 2 million Christians from their work, from their homes. Christian women, underage women, still in school, are kidnapped and forced to convert to Islam and marry a Muslim man. What does God say about Christians who suffer like that? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice, insofar as you share the sufferings of Christ, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Christ is coming again. There will be a reward. How much do you suffer for the name of Jesus? Is it a large cup or of the little cup kind? Our theme, dealing with the fiery trials that test us, that test our faith. You know, when Peter wrote our text, it was during a time of persecution. Nero, who was the emperor of Rome, had made a decree that the Christians need to be wiped off the face of the earth. Kind of like the cancel culture that we have today. Christians shouldn't be allowed to speak. They shouldn't be allowed to live. They're the problem with society. Let's take care of them. And he did. Christians scattered. Fear gripped the church. And believers wondered, is following Jesus worth it? It was a good question. So Peter writes a letter to help them. He wanted them to know that no matter how deep the pit of suffering, no matter how large the cup of suffering and pain, that Christ's love is deeper, that Christ's reward is deeper, much deeper, and that Christ would protect them every hour. Peter writes, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you." The word fiery literally means painful. You know, some poisonous snakes have a fiery bite because the bite's painful. Well, those early Christians knew that kind of fire. They knew that kind of pain. Kind of like standing in a fire. Emperor Nero had decreed to persecute them, and some of those Christians were captured and thrown into the arena to be eaten alive by lions. Can you imagine watching your loved ones ripped apart by lions? Jesus said, "Whoever comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." Others, Christians, in the early church were wrapped in rags and then soaked in oil, impaled upon a toothpick, impaled upon a pole, and then set on fire. Yeah, I think that qualifies for a fiery trial. As Nero watched the Christians burn, he said coldly, "See what beautiful torches my Christians make." Do you think you'll ever have to face persecution like that? We haven't seen persecution like that in the Christian church in America in a long time. Ever. And I hope you don't have to face that, but you know what's happening in our world today? You know what's happening in our culture? Are you paying attention? Are you scared? Are you scared to publicly proclaim that it's wrong for boys to think that they're girls and for girls to think that they're boys? Are you scared to say that? Are you scared to let others know that God calls heterosexual sex, that's any sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and homosexual sex a sin? Wrong? I think you can see the culture. The cancel culture. That's what it's called. They want to cancel out the Christian voice. Wipe it off the face of the earth, silence it. The woke movement minimizes every Christian voice by demonizing everything that we believe and stand for. You high school kids going out into college, that's exactly what you're going to face, this woke movement that wants to demonize everything that you've learned to believe is true. That's Christian persecution. They want to silence you. Are you scared to tell somebody that's in the unbelieving world that their soul is lost, that the Bible is true, and that they're wrong? Are you scared? They're not scared. They're not scared. They're coming for you. They're ready to attack you, and they're gearing up. That's what the Bible says. That's a prophecy. There will be persecution in the end days. But don't fear. Don't fear. God's with us. And God's going to help us endure, and we will endure victorious. We will endure living. Hebrews 11 says this about great heroes of the Old Testament. Believers were brutally tortured. Even back then, they didn't like the Word of God. Believers were brutally tortured but refused to be released so that they might gain eternal life. They wanted to die so that they'd go home to heaven. Life had gotten so bad here for the Christians. They just wanted to go home. The world's always hated the truth. The world's always hated God's word. They hate God. The Hebrews continues about the Old Testament heroes. Some of them were made fun of and whipped. Some of them were chained and put in prison. Some were stoned to death, sawed in half, killed with swords. Some wore the skins of sheep and goats. Some were poor and abused and mistreated. The world didn't deserve these good people. Some wandered around in the deserts and mountains and lived in caves and holes in the ground. All these people were known for their faith, but none of them received what God had promised. God planned to give us something very special so that we would gain eternal life with them. Some people have a large cup of pain and suffering for Christ to bear his name. Others bear a small cup of suffering and pain for Christ. Christian suffering on account of believing of Jesus and confessing what Jesus has taught us to believe provides us with an opportunity to bring glory to Christ's name. Peter wrote, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ you bear, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory of God rests on you. And if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name." In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were flogged. They were beaten because they proclaimed that Jesus Christ had died and risen, and they were the reason for his death. What did the disciples do after their beating? They left the presence of the council. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple, from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. And after being beaten for the name of Jesus, it says they rejoiced because they'd been counted worthy to suffer as Christ suffered. A Russian named Sergei Kordakov wrote an autobiography. And in that, it's called Persecutor, because he persecuted Christians in Russia as a KGB agent. He loved his job. He loved interrupting Christians in their prayer meetings and dismissing them with that power. He spent many times cracking skulls with his nightstick. He enjoyed beating Christians. One night, he broke up a prayer meeting, and there was a 16-year-old girl there. Struck her with his fist so hard that she went flying across the room. The next week, he broke up another prayer meeting. That 16-year-old girl was there. She had a black eye and a bruise on the side of her head where he had hit her. She looked at him. He looked at her. But her gaze was not one of revenge. Her gaze was one of love, not anger and hatred. Sergei was confused. Why would she show him signs of love? The mystery drove Sergei to open the Bible. He started to read it every night, and in reading it every night, it wasn't long before he became a Christian. He believed God's word is true. Her suffering for Christ brought glory to Jesus' name and brought Sergei to faith. People sin. The people around us are evil. We're evil too. But God does not want evil people to suffer in hell. That's why he sent Jesus to suffer and die. Jesus bore the sin, the punishment for all sinful people of all sorts. In fact, it is our Lord God who will use pain and suffering in our lives to draw us closer to Jesus and to bring glory to his name. Peter says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God." And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who don't obey the gospel of God? Peter writes, "Don't be surprised at the pains of sufferings when they come in your life." Oh, dear children, you are children of God. God has wrapped you in the robe of his righteousness. He's covered all your sins. He has saved you from the pit of hell. And he will help you through hard times. He lifts you up on eagle's wings. He holds you in the palm of his hand. Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Your heavenly Father sent his Son to die for you. He knows exactly how to suffer. He knows the pain. He knows how to lift you up. He knows how to exalt you. He knows how to protect you, how to help you through the fiery trials. Listen to these comforting words from Isaiah chapter 41:10. "So do not fear," God says, "I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." Cast all your cares. I love that word, all. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Psalm 23 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And in the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," we sing, "All our sins and griefs to bear." God cares about you. That's why we serve him. We just sang a little while ago, we love because God first loved us. The Holy Spirit sent a gift to you, saving faith. And he created that saving faith. God cares about you. In holy baptism, he put his name on you. He sealed you with a name, the name of Jesus. He put his name on you. He washed you clean from all your sins and adopted you into his family. And now he comes to give you his body and blood. He cares for you. And Satan doesn't want you to know that. Satan wants to fill you with doubt and unbelief and rebellion against God's word and join the culture around us. Satan does not want you to know how much you are loved by God. So Peter warns us about Satan's attack. You know, Satan is not a little kitty. Meow. He's a roaring lion, constantly seeking for a soul to devour. And Peter writes, "Be firm in the faith, resist him," knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. Yes, fiery trials may come. And the Lord knows whether they will be large or whether they will be small. He knows exactly how to strengthen you. And let me end my sermon with the blessing that Peter wrote for the suffering church in verse 10 and 11. "And now may the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you suffered for a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong and firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life and everlasting life. Amen."